Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Pentecost, the day when the Holy Spirit descended on the disciples so that they began to speak in tongues to proclaim the mighty works of God in the tongues of the devout men dwelling in Judea and Jerusalem. And God worked powerfully through the words of Peter and the other disciples to bring about 3,000 new people into the fellowship of his church through the waters of holy baptism. What an incredible event that must have been. I can imagine the emotions running through the minds of the disciples when they saw the tongues of fire appear in their room and come to rest over each other's heads, and then they started speaking in all the tongues of the people in Jerusalem. Fear, shock, awe, excitement. Of course, the emotions didn't last any more than their ability to speak in tongues lasted. But the sending of the Holy Spirit, that lasted for their entire life. Now, the sending of the Holy Spirit isn't quite the same for us as it was for the disciples. They received an incredible sign, performed great feats thanks to the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. They were prepared for the coming of the Holy Spirit when Jesus spent 40 days with them after the resurrection, teaching them and opening their minds to understand the scriptures. It's not like that for us. It's not so flashy or showy when we receive the Holy Spirit, so sometimes we are tempted to downplay the Holy Spirit's work among us or to look for other visible demonstrations of the Spirit's presence. However, that tendency couldn't be further from the truth, from reality. The Holy Spirit is still at work in the same way he in us as he was in the disciples. And so what is this work of the Holy Spirit in us? Our gospel reading explains it to us. The first part comes right at the beginning in verse 3 when Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." If we love him. Now, this makes loving Jesus sound a whole lot like a command. You must do this in order for this to happen. In other words, the law, telling us what we must do, threatening God's punishment when we do not do it, promising God's blessings when we do it. And unfortunately, this is not something that we can do on our own. Apart from God, we can still do the right things. There are non-believers who do good things. But it's not necessarily for the right reasons. Oftentimes, we only want to be nice, so we'll get something from the other person. I'll do this for you if you do that for me. Or I will be nice to you so that in the future I can come and collect. And that is the wrong attitude for us to take towards helping other people or showing love to other people. Now, there are some times that we do act from the right attitude, but not always. And always is what God demands. However, when we look further down, we see that Jesus is already promising that the Holy Spirit dwells with us, that the Father loves his people, that the Father dwells with and among his people. Jesus himself is the visible, literal, physical proof of God dwelling with his people. That's pretty much on top of it, the book of Revelation boils down to the single point that God dwells with his people. If you remember from the season of Easter, when we were looking at our epistle readings from Revelation, God dwells with us. And so, when we look back at verse 23, Jesus is already showing that we do love him because the Father already dwells with us. And so that makes this a part of what the Holy Spirit does in God's people, that the Holy Spirit is the one who causes God's people to love Jesus and to show that love to others. The Holy Spirit does this through the Word, through the sacraments, to make us more loving, not just to God, but through that to other people. This is called sanctification, or the work of the Holy Spirit in making God's people more godly. Or in other words, enabling God's people to love Jesus. Now, loving Jesus in this context means to act in ways that show love to one another as well as to him. Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them." What a lot of people call the golden rule. We show God's love to others by doing for them what we would want done for us. Or Matthew 19, Jesus summarizes the second table of the law by saying, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And so what does it mean to show God's love to other people? To love them, to do for them what you would have done for yourself. Now, loving God and one another is something that we can do only because of the Holy Spirit's work in us. But that is not the only work that the Holy Spirit performs in us, as we continue in verse 26, where Jesus says that the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And so, the Holy Spirit's other work is teaching us, showing us what God's word means, showing us God's will. Now, this doesn't happen in a spiritual manner. This happens through God's word. There are things in Scripture that we can't really understand on our own, but God, through the Holy Spirit, helps us to understand. The symbolism in Revelation, for example, was completely and utterly indecipherable for the non-believers, but crystal clear to the believers, as we've talked about in Bible class and throughout the Easter season. For example, the Lamb that was slain but who rules is Jesus. The New Jerusalem descending from heaven, which we talked about the last couple of weeks, that is the church, prepared as a bride for the Lamb, meaning Jesus. Today, we understand Revelation as pointing us to the final victory of Jesus over sin, over death, over the power of the devil. We receive that message of one as one of hope because of the Holy Spirit who creates faith in us. Jesus promises that the Holy Spirit will be the one to explain this to us throughout the book of John, especially in the last couple of chapters before his crucifixion. He says, "When the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, he will bear witness about me." Now, in other words, we should not be looking for sudden, miraculous knowledge of God through any special revelation. There are many false religions claiming to be Christian which have sprung up from someone's claim of special revelation. Now, that isn't to say that God can't speak to people in a special way today, the same way that Peter, John, Paul, among others, received special visions and revelations from God. However, any such special revelation must be in line with what God has already revealed to us. In other words, for a vision from God to be true, it can't contradict the Bible. The Bible is what God says for all times, to all people, and anything else has to align with it. There are many times that the Holy Spirit uses other people to explain God's word to us. This is what he did in our second reading from Acts when men from around the world who dwelled in Jerusalem were gathered together for the festival of Pentecost, or First Fruits. The Holy Spirit gave the apostles the ability to speak in tongues so that these devout men could understand them in their own heart language. This may not mean that each of them spoke one language. It could mean that what they spoke came out in the hearer's native tongue, so that all of them hear different languages from one person. We're not really told, we're not really sure what it means. But however it is, Peter uses the opportunity to explain the gospel to all of those who were listening, and so 3,000 of them believed and were baptized on that day. God does the same thing for us today through pastors and other men of God, explaining what we don't understand and how it helps us to believe in Him. Our receiving of the Holy Spirit doesn't take the same form that it did with the disciples, but we do receive Him just as much as the disciples did. The promise Jesus gave in John 14, verse 26, to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, applies just as much to all of us as it did to the first disciples. We receive the Holy Spirit even if it's not as flashy or miraculous as the first Pentecost. Instead of tongues of fire floating above our heads, we receive Him in a few drops of water poured over our forehead. In baptism, you receive the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, fulfilling his work in you, leading you to perform acts of love, to show your love for Jesus to those around you, creating this love in you and allowing you to grow out and bear fruit in your interactions with others. Teaching you through God's words to know what God expects of you, and even more, what God has done for you. So we don't look for flashy, showy displays of the Holy Spirit's work and power, though those can happen. We do not look for the glossolalia, that is, speaking in tongues. Instead, we look for the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, making us to know and love our Savior more and more every day. God grant it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.